This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, January 6th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, bringing nature to an urban landscape. We'll get a story from the Environment Report about one man who's using his own home as a canvas. We'll also hear the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, which includes a little snow. But first, a look at today's news. The Illinois House Committee investigating impeachment of Governor Rod Blagojevich is pushing back its schedule. The panel was supposed to meet again today. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The work of deciding if Blagojevich's supposed schemes and unpopular policies warrant impeachment is being put off until Wednesday. The committee is waiting to hear if it can listen to the FBI's taped phone calls of Blagojevich allegedly carrying out those schemes. Some have speculated that the House was trying to ramp up the impeachment process after Blagojevich appointed Roland Burris to the U.S. Senate seat he's accused of trying to sell. But the committee's chair, Barbara Flynn Curry, says otherwise.
The resolution that created the committee asked the committee to report before the end of the current session. So there has been a sense of urgency all the way along. I don't think that sense has changed.
Finishing by the end of this legislative session means the committee needs to wrap up by early next week. Burris may also testify before the committee. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Barack Obama's appointed successor today declared that he's qualified to take a seat in the Senate, and Burris says he'll go to Capitol Hill to do just that. Burris says he'll be presenting himself as the legally appointed senator from the state of Illinois, and he says it's his hope that Senate leaders recognize that the appointment is legal. The former Illinois Attorney General made his comments this morning on CBS's The Early Show. Burris dismissed the Senate Democratic leadership's position that he can't be seated because he was appointed by a governor accused of trying to benefit financially from his authority to fill the seat. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said yesterday Burris would not be permitted to take a seat because he has not been certified by the state of Illinois. Meanwhile, Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn is choosing his own words carefully on whether he thinks Burris should back down in his effort. Susie Ahn has that story.
When they spoke last week, Quinn says he told Roland Burris the Senate appointment by embattled Governor Rod Blagojevich was a mistake. But he wouldn't say whether he told Burris to withdraw his acceptance. At a press conference, Quinn avoided directly saying what Burris should do next.
The Senate seat belongs to the people, and I think the people of Illinois did not want this governor to make any appointment to the Senate seat or any other appointment, and that certainly was what Barack Obama expressed very forcefully.
Quinn repeatedly referred to Barack Obama's opposition to the governor's action. Blagojevich faces federal corruption charges, but has denied any wrongdoing. Quinn would become governor if Blagojevich resigns or is forced from office. I'm Susie Ahn.
Meanwhile, Quinn says 2009 is going to be the year of reform in Illinois. The man who could be in line to take over from Illinois' scandal-tainted governor made that declaration yesterday after announcing the formation of a new panel that will make recommendations on cleaning up state government. Quinn says the body should have a final report ready by April. He introduced former federal prosecutor Patrick Collins as the commission's chair during a speech in Chicago. Collins says it's too early to say what recommendations the panel might make, but he says he's never worked on a corruption case that didn't have some link to campaign financing. And so he says for the commission to ignore that aspect would be to ignore the 800-pound gorilla. The Pontiac Correctional Center was once slated to close by the end of last month, but multiple lawsuits and Governor Rod Blagojevich's arrest on corruption charges are giving supporters hope that the prison will stay open. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that story.
AFSCME, the union representing Illinois corrections workers, has three lawsuits pending against the state over the Pontiac prison closure. A hearing set for yesterday in one of the lawsuits has been postponed indefinitely. Both sides said the hearing was pointless, while an injunction to keep the prison open issued in another lawsuit remained in effect. State Senator Dan Rutherford of Pontiac says Governor Blagojevich is the only one really interested in closing the Pontiac prison, and with the governor's political future in doubt, Rutherford says shutdown efforts have slowed down.
I see what's happening now is the court system has gone through and providing for the due process and the hearings and the like, but even the state has been somewhat holding back on filing some of the paperwork, so it's really slowed down to almost a slow crawl right now.
The Blagojevich administration wants to close Pontiac to save money, with many of its inmates going to the mostly unused state prison at Thompson. Rutherford says the savings are illusory and that the prisons in both Pontiac and Thompson need to be open to relieve overcrowding. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Meanwhile, a factory in Pontiac that makes industrial shelving appears to have been saved from a threatened closure. About 260 workers at the Interlake Material Handling Plant received notices last week informing them the plant could be shut down due to the bankruptcy of its parent company, South Bend-based United Fixtures. But now United Fixtures has found a buyer. The Spanish company Mecalux, which has its own plant in the Chicago area, has reportedly agreed to buy the assets of United Fixtures, including the plant in Pontiac, for $30 million. Pontiac Mayor Scott McCoy says Mecalux had been looking to acquire United Fixtures for some time. He hopes the sale means the Interlake plant in Pontiac will stay open or be closed for only a short time while the facility is transferred to its new owner. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Sometimes cities can seem like drab, impersonal places, but every once in a while you see a building that stops you in your tracks. Karen Kelly tells a story about a house designed to do just that.
When you first see it, you're just not sure. A two-story house is being covered with marks etched in concrete. Is it intentional or just a layer of construction? Then you see a large black figure on the west side of the house and realize, oh, it's a whale. Waves are etched in the concrete around it. Walk around the corner and you'll see flocks of birds flying over roughly drawn buildings. And just past the birds, there are three men working silently on a platform. Two are spreading layers of fresh concrete. The third is artist Christopher Griffin, the owner of the house. He uses a long, smooth bone to draw a picture after each swipe of the trowel and before the concrete sets. He says he has to work fast.
They scrape the mud on, and I would be going around them over top of them, actually right behind their trowel. And there's no chance to stand back. There's no chance to second guess.
Griffin has been a professional artist in Ottawa, Canada for almost 20 years. His motivation was simple. His house really needed a new exterior. But the regular stuff that people put on their houses didn't feel right to him. Instead, he thought he'd try some drawings like he'd seen in a photo of mud huts in Africa.
It was irregular. It was organic. It wasn't pristine. It wasn't crisp. It wasn't heartless. And that sort of quality was something I was after.
But while Griffin had this vision of giant sunflowers and caribou, contractors had no idea what he was talking about. Several told him it couldn't be done. Dan Charette is part of a team that was willing to give it a try.
It's a fantastic opportunity to bring our craftsmanship to a different level. There's a whole other creative level to what we do here with constructive behavior, so it's really a lot of fun.
For instance, the contractors suggested adding fly ash to the cement. It's a byproduct of burning coal, and it also makes the cement more elastic. Griffin liked that it was more environmentally friendly. He also recycled building materials and added solar panels. But usually that's not what people see. Griffin says what really makes him feel good is when people just stop and stare.
Absolute strangers stopping their cars, getting out, and having a look. There's like a teenage skateboarder who stopped and said, "Wow, awesome house."
Griffin says in that way, his house has become a public space. In fact, he argues everyone's house is a public space. And he suggests people think about what they want their house to say to someone walking by. For the Environment Report, I'm Karen Kelly.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gunn Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. Let us know what you think. Drop them a line at feedback@environmentreport.org. In our forecast for the Champaign-Urbana area, cloudy today, periods of snow, sleet, and freezing rain, mainly this morning, the high 33. Cloudy tonight, a few flurries are possible this evening, a low 24. Mostly cloudy and breezy tomorrow, a chance of snow, the high 30. Clearing and colder Wednesday evening, the low near 20. Partly to mostly sunny Thursday, the high around 30. Partly cloudy Thursday evening, the low 17. Intervals of clouds and sunshine on Friday, the high 38. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, January 6th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.